Awesome. Today I want to talk to you about the gift of hope. The gift of hope. Because this is the season of hope. Season of hope. Some of you are hoping for a new Apple Watch. Anybody? Maybe an iPad? Anybody hoping you get the iPad? PlayStation? Anybody hoping for PlayStation? A new PlayStation? I know adults are hoping for PlayStation, not just kids. What about jewelry, ladies? Jewelry? You're hoping for some jewelry? Maybe a new coat? Okay, all right. Everyone's saying no. Don't lie. How about this one? This one's yes for all the ladies in the house. New shoes? Come on, like new shoes. You're hoping for new shoes? For me, I'm hoping to get a motorcycle. Show of hands, how many say, Pastor, get a motorcycle? Let me see your hands up. How many say no? Oh my God, it's a tie. Let's just pray about it, Lord. He said yes. He said yes. She won't let me get one. What's up with that? I says, look, now that I'm years old, I gotta do something to be cool. I'm having this midlife crisis here. I gotta do something. Anyway. Yeah. I think it's not hope, it's wishful thinking, right? Isn't that what hope is sometimes, wishful thinking? Now, I know some of you are hoping for some more serious things. So we get a little serious here because some of you are really hoping that you don't lose your job. You're hoping. You're hoping that you can beat cancer or maybe beat some sort of sickness you might be struggling with. You might be hoping to pay the mortgage, pay the rent, pay some bills. You're hoping that you don't lose your car. Some people are there today, right? You're hoping not to lose a loved one. Maybe someone's really sick. And some of you are hoping your marriage turns around. Like, you're just like, just hope my marriage gets better. 2022. I'm hoping to find an apartment. I'm hoping I could just get a car just to get to work, right? We all have these hopes. And you know what I've learned about hopes is that hopes oftentimes for a lot of us is not necessarily hope the way God wants us to have hope. It's more this desire for something good. Let me just put it up here, right? It's more of a desire for something good, or maybe wishful thinking. Like, we just wish. We hope. We have this wishful thinking mindset. Like, I just hope things turn around. I hope things get better. I know maybe when we look to 2022, we're hoping to get done with this. The P word. Y'all know the P word, right? By now, I don't want to say it. Right? We're all in this thing. Like, could 2022, we're hoping. And a lot of us don't have the hope God wants us to have. A lot of us don't have biblical hope. You know what we have? We have that wishful thinking, that desire for something good to happen. I just have this desire that something good happens to my future. And this is the problem with wishful thinking. This is the problem with wishful thinking. Okay, y'all tracking with me? Wishful thinking, when you wish upon a star, right? Wish. And your wishful thinking is often dependent upon humans, man, people, it often leads to disappointment. And when you're disappointed, it often leads to discouragement. You ever been there? Like, discouraged. Like, and if you're in discouragement long enough, guess what that leads to? Hopelessness. And that's where a lot of people are today. They're just hopeless. They've lost the hope. They lost the hope about the future. They lost hope about their careers, their dreams, their desires, their jobs, their health, their families. They at least the hopelessness. But this is the tragedy of hopelessness. Hopelessness will always lead to a loss of faith. Always. Because faith is the evidence things that are hoped for. We'll look at that verse in a minute. That's why you can never lose your hope. That's why you got to hold on to hope in whatever darkness, whatever difficulty, whatever tragedy, whatever challenge you're in. You just got to hold on to hope. But the hope I'm talking to you today about is not some wishful hope. A hope that comes from God. You see, biblical hope is different than wishful thinking. Biblical hope is a what, church? Confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. It's not just, oh, I hope something good happens. It's this confidence expectation. It is this confident assurance that you know and believe in your heart that God is for you and that God is with you and that God goes before you and that God is going to fight your battles and that God is going to provide for you and God is going to lead you and God is going to guide you and God is going to direct you and God is going to give you all that you need because you are his child. You are his son. You are his daughter. You are a king's kid. Come on, church. That is the confident expectation that we have. In other words, when your faith and hope are in God, biblical hope equals confidence. Church, confidence. That's a confidence that comes from God. That is this confident assurance that you can only get from God. And I'm here to tell you today, don't walk in confidence. Walk in confidence. Walk in the assurance that comes from faith, believing that God will provide and God will lead and God will heal and God will take you through and God's going to turn things around and God has a plan for you and God has a purpose for you and God has a destiny for your life that nothing or no one can take you out of God's plan for your life. Nothing or no one can pull you out of the destiny of God. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the what? Confidence. The confidence in what we, what, church? Hope for. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You see, because if you can see the answer, then it wouldn't require faith. If you knew how things were going to turn out, you wouldn't have to trust. But God wants you to trust him. God wants you to place your faith and confidence in his word. He wants you to place your future in his hands. You see, we can only look to our future with confident assurance and expectation when our faith and hope are in God. But this is the problem. This is the challenge that many of us have had and are having, is that our faith is being placed in other people and other things. And whenever you place your faith in other people, in other things, you will always be disappointed. You will always be let down. And many of us are placing our faith and confidence in government, and we're placing our faith and confidence in money. We're placing our faith and confidence in our possessions. We're placing faith and confidence in people. And this is the problem. We're in a season in which God is shaking all of those things. How many are with me on that, right? He's shaking all those things, and he's allowing things to come to pass so that we can place our faith and confidence in him. Right. In him. God wants you to hope in the Lord. Let me ask you, what have you been hoping for lately? What have you been hoping for this year? Have you had more of wishful thinking than confident assurance and expectation? That God's word tells us, but I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Where's the next slide? Next slide, guys. It is stuck. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you what, church? To give you hope and a future. This is where my confidence comes from. God's word telling me that God knows the plans he has for me. First of all, God has a plan. God has a purpose for my life and for your life. And that plan is not to harm you. It's to prosper you and to give you a hope and give you a future, church. That's where we place our faith and trust in God's word, believing that regardless of what happens to us, God is good. He's going to take us through what he's brought us to, that he's going to provide all of our needs, that he's faithful to his word, he's faithful to his promises, that if it's in his will, it will come to pass. Nothing can stop God's destiny for your life. Nothing can stop God's plan for your life. Nothing can stop what God has prepared for you except for you. Woo! Right? Except for you. Because the only one that can get you out of God's destiny for your life is you. What do I mean by that? By the decisions we make. The choices we make. Disobedience. But this is what I've learned. When I follow Jesus and I obey Jesus and I'm in the center of his will, whatever God has prepared for me will come to pass. No one has the power to stop God's blessing on my life. Knowing nothing or no one has the power to stop his destiny from being fulfilled in my life. That's where I place my confidence. God, I know this is what I'm walking through. I know this is what I'm facing. I know this is what I lack. I know this is what I don't have, but your word tells me, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Therefore, I am going to hold on to my hope, even when things seem hopeless. I'm going to hold on to my hope, and I'm going to keep walking by faith and not by sight. I'm going to keep trusting that although it feels like you're silent, I'm going to believe you are present. And although things around me seem like they're falling apart, I know you're in control. I know you're on the throne. Why? I am first a citizen of heaven. I'm first a child of God. I am an image bearer of Christ. He is my Father. He is my King. He is my priest. And like David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or even begging for bread. Wow. That's confident assurance. Today, God wants to give you your hope back, some of you. Because some of you have lost your hope. Hope. Hold on to your hope. So it's Christmas, and we got to talk about some Christmas stories, right? Because then this wouldn't be a Christmas message. So let's look at the hope of the Magi. Next slide. There you go. The hope of the wise men, the Magi, in Matthew chapter 2. Okay. We usually read this story that the three wise men came and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But I want us to go back a little bit and really understand what was happening in this passage of Scripture. First of all, the wise men were also called Magi. They were skilled in astronomy. Did I say astrology first service? I said astrology first service. Oh, shoot. I just thought of that. I said astrology. It's astronomy, right? When you study the stars?
Yes.
My bad. They're like, Pastor's talking about astrologists. The things I'd say. Astronomy, they were skilled in, and she didn't correct me. You didn't correct me, honey. They were skilled in astronomy and science. They were not Jewish. They were religious people, most likely living in what present-day Iran. Okay? And they were reading the Old Testament. They understood the Old Testament. They followed the teachings of the Jews. Now, back in that particular time, they translated the Old Testament into Greek. Little lesson for you. It's called the Septuagint. So the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So these wise men were studying about the Jewish Messiah in the Old Testament. And they were reading about the prophecies that came from Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 9, we read of a specific prophecy in which Daniel prophesied that 483 years later, the anointed one would come. He would be the Messiah who would die for the world. So these wise men believed that the anointed one was coming. Not for 4 hours or 4 days or 4 weeks or 4 months, but over 400 years. And what's powerful about this faith and confidence they had is that 400-year period of time was also called the 400 years of God's silence, because God did not speak to his people for over 400 years. It ends in Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, and you don't hear from God until Matthew. For 400 years, they had not heard the voice of God. For 400 years, they had not seen a miracle. For 400 years, they only heard about the great things that God did. They only heard about the miracles. They only heard about the signs and wonders. Yet, these wise men held on to their hope, and they believed that an anointed one was coming, that God was coming in the flesh. They believed. Let me just encourage you, church, that although it seems that God is silent, God may be silent, but he's never absent. He's always working. He's always moving. He's always doing something. He's always working behind the scenes. Don't lose your hope during the tough times of life when it just feels like God is distant. Hold on to your hope. Hold on to your hope. So there are these wise men, astronomers, studying the stars. Why? Because in particular Hebrew time, they would associate a bright star with the coming of a next leader, of a king. So imagine that one evening, 483 years later, they're just staring at the stars. And out of nowhere, the star is lit. And there was no doubt in their hearts or mind that the Messiah was born. First of all, I just want to tell you that a star is about to be lit over your life. A star is about to be lit over your situation. A star, the star of hope, is about to be lit over your life. Just have that confident expectation. So after Jesus, we read this next passage of scripture. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, notice, I love this, because if it was me, I would first have to check it out. How about you guys? Like, there is this bright star, but I don't know. I've been so disappointed with stars from the past. How many have been there? I don't want to get my hopes up too high. I would have just sent someone, yo, check it out, because I don't want to be fooled. But they had this confident assurance, this confident expectation, this confidence that they asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Wow. Lord, give us that confidence. Give us that confidence to believe in the promises of your word. You see, church, what you need now more than ever before is confidence, is hope. What you need now more than ever before is to hold on to your hope. You need hope. Can I just say what I just thought? I can't say it. But you need hope more than you need anything else in this world right now. Figure it out. You need hope more than you need anything else in this world. You need to hold on to your hope. You need to hold on to your hope more than anything else in this world right now. You need to hold on to your hope. Church, don't lose hope. 2,000 years ago, that baby that was born wasn't just the Messiah, wasn't just the King of the Jews. Hope was born on Christmas. Hope for humanity. Hope for the world. Because without Christ coming into the world, we are all destined to eternal separation from God. And we're all destined to go to hell. But because of his great love, God loved the world so much that he gave his son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Church, that's hope. That's hope. That's hope. That whoever believes, God loves so much that he sent Jesus. That gives us hope that regardless of what happens in this world to us, we know that heaven is our home. We know heaven is our home. That's called hope. But there's an even greater hope called the blessed hope. Oh, man. Church, the blessed hope is that at any moment, at any time, the trumpet God of sound and the dead in Christ will rise. And anyone who's alive will meet God in the air. And Jesus will come for his church. My friend, it's not a fairy tale. It is true. And I came to declare to you today that we are closer than ever to the coming of the Lord. That is my hope. That earth is not my eternal dwelling place. Heaven is my home. And that he's prepared for me a place in heaven with God to dwell in forever. That's my hope. That regardless of what happens in this world, death is not the end. It is just a transition, a doorway into eternal life. I just came to tell you, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I just want to tell you that. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Hope is our anchor. Look at this verse. We have an anchor. We have this hope as an back. We have this hope as a what, church? As an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Church, we have this hope. We have this hope. Do you have that hope? Yes. Do you have that hope deep down in your heart that regardless of what happens in this world, God is with you and God is for you and you are saved by grace. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you have that hope that God will provide for all your needs? Do you have that hope that he will lead you and guide you and direct your steps? Do you have that hope that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path? Do you have that hope? That's the hope. That's the hope as an anchor for our soul. So when everything else in the world is falling apart, when everything else is caving in, when governments fail, when people fail, when society fails, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, full, firm, and secure. So the writer of Hebrews, we don't quite know who that writer is. Many believe it was Paul, but there's no specific person. We don't know, but this is what he continues to write. Let us hold fast to what, church? The confession of our what, church? Hope with what, church? Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. It's not what he does. It is who he is. It is his nature. It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to not remain true to his word. God is a God of the promises. God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his promises. And what does the writer of Hebrews tell us? The writer of Hebrews says, hold on to the confession of our hope and don't waver. So I came to tell you today, church, hold on to the anchor. Hold on to your hope. Hold on to your faith. God is with you. God is for you. God loves you. And God is going to work on your behalf. But I also wanted to tell you, that it's not enough to just have this hope or receive this hope. What if I were to tell you, God forbid, I had cancer and a doctor found, let's just do it this way. Let's say I was a doctor and I had cancer and I found a cure and I didn't tell anyone. What do you think about that? And I just want to tell you that it's not enough to have hope without giving hope. You see, because we have found something greater than the cure for cancer. We have found the cure for sin. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I just want to tell you. We have the cure for sin. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. If I have received this hope, and if I have this hope, then don't you think I have a responsibility to share this hope, to offer this hope? And the reason why the world is hopeless is because the church has been silent. And I don't mean the church. I mean the people in the church. I mean the church, the body of Christ, the children of God. You see, church, we have been called to be hope dealers, church. We've been called to deal hope to a world that's hopeless, to a people that are in pain, to a people who are dying, to a people who are depressed, to a people who are discouraged, to a people who need Jesus. We have been called to be hope dealers, church. We have not been called to sit in our comfortable chairs and receive this hope and be selfish with this hope. No, church, we have been called to deal hope. And if there's ever a time that the church needs to rise up and deal hope, it is now. It is now. It is now. Church, it is now. It is now. It is now. Church. Church, church, rise up, church, rise up, church, rise up, church, rise up, church. Be who God called you to be. Do what God has called you to do. Speak what God has called you to speak. Say what God has called you to say. Church, church, I don't know what possessed me today, but I could tell you this. It's hope. It's hope. It's hope. You can stay standing if you like, but it's hope. We're almost done. It's hope. The world needs hope. It's not enough to receive it. We got to give it. Real quick, how? 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 We got to tell people. We got to tell people. We gotta tell people. Now. It's now. We gotta tell people now. I know you're depressed. I know you feel like taking your life. I know you're discouraged. I know you've lost your baby, and I know you've lost a loved one. But there's hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. I know you think that your sin is too bad for God to forgive, but there's hope of salvation. Tell people. Tell others, church. And we got to offer that hope. We got to be hope to the world. I'm going to offer that hope to the world. I am the solution. Say that, church. I am the solution. Church, the church is the solution. We are the solution. We are the solution to racism. We are the solution to poverty. We are the solution to the problems of society. We are the solution, church. We are the solution. Say that with me. I am the solution. I am the solution. We are the solution. Then show it. Can you? Number three, show it. Show that you're the solution. And then give like you're the solution. Don't hold back. Because one day, you're going to breathe your last breath. And just newsflash, you ain't going to take your money with you.
Yeah. Right?
I remember years and years ago, I heard an old preacher say, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Because you died naked, and you're going to leave naked. Why not spend this life and give hope through your giving, through your financial giving, through giving of your resources, giving of your Christmas offering, giving to your local church, giving to those in need. Give hope. But why not lastly pray? Pray for hope. Pray that the world be filled with hope. Church, we are the hope of the world.
Amen.
Jesus said, we are the hope of the world.
Yes.
We are the hope. We are a hope. Would you bow your head with me as we close? Thank you so much for letting me just kind of share my heart to you today. Lord, burn this message in our hearts. Lord, we don't want just another cute worship service. Lord, give us a dose of hope. Flood us with hope. Fill us with hope. Jesus. There might be someone here today that was considering taking their life. Today, Lord Jesus, give them a dose of hope. That if they're not dead, God, you're not done. Flood them with hope. If someone's discouraged, full of despair, God, right now, visit them with hope. Jesus, for those that are watching the news and feel like the world is hopeless, Lord, the last time I checked, you are still on the throne. You are still in charge. You are still King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Lord, infuse us with biblical hope. And for those that have not yet followed you today, I pray that they would make that decision to follow you. Just a few more moments. Your head bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today, have never invited Jesus into your heart, and you want to do that right now, just lift your hand. Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. I want to invite hope to come into my heart. Just raise your hand. No one's looking around. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hands. So why don't you say this prayer with me? Everyone together. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with hope. Give me a brand new start. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said amen. 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 Let's give an applause for those that prayed that prayer.